available at berniesrockshop.com.
Support for this program comes from the Konopka Lab at UW-Madison, recruiting adults 55 plus for a clinical trial, testing whether a medication can promote healthy longevity. Details are at 608-228-2978.
He presents Gaelic Storm with special guest Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band, Roll Out the Barrel Tour, on Saturday, March 8th at 8 p.m. at the Barrymore. In the mid-1990s, Gaelic Storm kicked off its career as a pub band in Santa Monica, California. After 2 decades and more than 3,000 live shows, this chart-topping multinational Celtic band is on the road again with a sound that mixes traditional Irish music with modern influences. Openers, the Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band are a three-piece American country blues band from Brown County, Indiana. T presents Gaelic Storm with special guest Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band, Roll Out the Barrel Tour. Saturday, March 8th at 8 p.m. at the Barrymore Theater. Bringing you music from around the world, this is WORT 89.9 FM Madison and WORTFM.org.
Welcome to the Perpetual Notion Machine here on 89.9 FM Madison, community-sponsored radio. I'm your host, Kay Poppy.
And I'm your mad scientist host, Mr. DJ Walrats. They call me Wally around here. We are here to tickle your eardrums with science news. You're going to learn about your brain today. We have some cool guests coming in via the telephono. That's going to be happening here in a minute, but we are very pleased to be here to drum up some support for your favorite radio station. I myself am a evergreen donor. I used to give 10 bucks a month. Now I give 11 because this one goes to 11, and so can you. We got some awesome gifts for you that, or you can say, you know, I don't need more physical things in my life. I just want the satisfaction that when I hear Mad Scientist News, I know I support that show. And they do give us goals. We've got a big one. My first ever show, we got zero donations. So it's only up from there. So please go ahead and help out the thing that you love, the thing that gives you so much news and entertainment. You basically can get your PhD from WORT. So get on the app, find the big orange donate button, get online, WORTFM.org. You can give any amount. You can look at the gifts there. And we really, really appreciate your support. We can't do it without you. So if you're listening now and you say, golly, I've always wanted to support, even $5, it really goes a long way. And yes, we are the most efficient agency that it can be appointed by the government. We're not a government agency at all, actually. So it's kind of, there's some crossover. You know, we're very good with our money. So it's great to meet Kate today as part of the Perpetual Motion Machine. Is a collective. And if you love science news and you want to come and join us, you can talk to Shelley Pittman about that and get on the schedule. You don't have to have an awesome radio voice like me, but you know, it's encouraged that you can talk. You can have a face for radio like I do. I've got a great face for radio. So anyways, Kate, why don't you tell us a little bit about who we're talking to today?
Sure, and I have a much worse radio voice, so. joining us by phone is Jorge Cham and Dwayne Godwin to talk about their new book, Out of Your Mind. Out of Your Mind is a book about neuroscience, which uses comics to explain some of the most complex mechanisms in our brain and answers deep questions about love, consciousness, and happiness using examples from the history of neuroscience. Dwayne Godwin is a neuroscientist and educator. His research focuses on developing cures and treatments for epilepsy and traumatic brain injuries. Jorge Chab is an Emmy-nominated cartoonist and executive producer of the PBS kids show Eleanor Wonders Why. He is a creator of several online comic strips and earned his PhD in robotics at Stanford. Thank you both for being here.
Hey, thank you so much for having us.
Hello.
So, the book is structured so that you could read it cover to cover, or you could skip to a topic you're interested in since each chapter is itself self-contained. Could you talk a little bit about the structure of the book and why you organize it this way?
Oh, sure. I'll start, Jorge, if that's okay. You know, Jorge and I met over 15 years ago, and we met because I was an administrator at my university, and I invited him to give a talk. And we, you know, basically just kind of bonded over lunch one day. And while we were talking over lunch, we thought about what it might be for me as a neuroscientist to collaborate with Jorge, who's both a scientist as well as a cartoonist. And so, you know, we came up with this really just basic thesis that I think is probably best articulated by Isaac Asimov, who wrote that the brain was the most complex organization of matter in the universe. And so the natural question for us is whether we could convey that complexity that's in the brain and what is thought of as one of the simplest of storytelling formats. And so we went on to do that and have done it for several years. The first recognition that we got for doing it was in 2009. We won the National Science Foundation Visualization Challenge for a comic on brain development. And so, you know, the genesis from that was we worked for several years doing neuroscience comics for Scientific American Mind. And then after that, we said, you know, this is nice because with the storytelling format, we can tell you a little bit about big ideas. But wouldn't it be nice if we could convey a little bit more information? Because the brain is so rich as a way to understand ourselves and our humanity. Pulling on the threads of philosophy and psychology really needed a deeper dive. And so that's kind of the genesis of the book. And with respect to your question, yes, you can... It's our goal that with each of these, you can take any chapter and read it and understand it as a standalone chapter. So the chapters are very approachable and accessible. They don't require specialized knowledge. Like, you know, a lot of books will approach things like a textbook where they teach you very specialized jargon and specific things that you need to know before you can understand the rest of it. I think the thing that we achieved with this book is, you know, if you've got a half hour and want to digest a chapter, you can easily do that without understanding the specifics or being a scientist or something like this. This is one of the reviews of the book that I thought was really interesting said that it felt like neuroscience for the rest of us, you know. That you don't really need that level of interest in the specifics of the science behind it, but we convey enough of the science that it enriches it and makes it more of a personal story about you and how you think and, you know, how you love, how you feel, what is consciousness, what happens to us when we die. Jorge may have some things that he would like to add to that.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add that we structured the book around chapters, and each chapter asks a really interesting question that I think everyone wants to know the answer to, like, what is love, or why do we hate, or what is consciousness, or do we have free will, or what happens when we die? And we really try to, as Dwayne said, make each chapter super accessible, easy to read by anyone, and also you're able to read it on its own.
And I'm looking at the book right now. It is beautiful, and the pictures, so if you like to have a book with pictures, There are really fun illustrations, as you would imagine. But when I first heard that this was going to be coming to the station, I was very excited because I love cartoons. I grew up on Calvin and Hobbes and reading the Sunday paper. I can see some of Calvin and Hobbes art style in here for sure. And it's like an illustrated guide to your brain. Little jokes, little tidbits, kind of work you through these different big ideas in a way that is very, very evocative while not. You know, as a biologist, I have to check my lingo all the time. I'm always doing acronyms. I'm always talking about your amygdala or, you know, whatever. But this book really kind of avoids a lot of that stuff. I was actually almost got a neuro biology degree, but I decided I just wanted to work with plants. So anyways, really beautiful. So I got a question here for you. There's something about, as we talk about the mind and as we think about being replaced by robots someday. Tell us a little bit about, you have a section here on AI. Can you kind of maybe get into a little bit about how you look at AI in the book and also why AI could never, that we can think of, write this kind of book and draw these things? I mean, like, the human creativity is really amazing. So what's your take as real humans? I think you're real humans.
Yeah, we could be AIs. You never know. Jorge, do you want to start this one since I sort of talked about the last question? Do you want to take this one first stab?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I'm a former roboticist, someone who studied robots, mm-hmm. and I really felt this chapter was important to including the book because AI is not just becoming super important for us in our daily lives. And possibly taking a lot of the jobs that we might be doing in the future, but it's also going to be helping us a lot. So we felt it was important for people to really understand how AI works. And it just so happens that AI is based on how real human brains work down to the neuron level. Mm-hmm. And so this is, first of all, a really great excuse to kind of talk about how neurons work and how they're connected to each other and how they're able to do math at the neuron level. But also, it's kind of a really important, I think, to try to understand now how our brains work, because I think it's really going to help us understand how AI can help our brains, how they're able to emulate our brains, how they're able to, like you said, copy our creativity, perhaps, or even maybe our consciousness.
Interesting, yeah. And Kate's a composer, so I asked that question, you know, can AI compose quality music? And that's a kind of interesting long-term thought. Hey, yeah, Kate, you want to ring that bell? It's right there. Woohoo! We have confirmation, friends, that our online pledge service is working. We got a pledge. So fantastic. Thank you so much.
Pledge more.
That's
pledge
right. More. We want to thank Jonna for a very generous gift here today. And this is her favorite show, it looks like. So that's great news. We love to hear that. And so keep them coming, folks. We can also accept your calls. If you're old school, get on your rotary dial and put in 608-256-2001. We can do it that way. We can do it online. You can mail us a check. You could just leave a pile of nickels in our steps. We'll take your money. Also, we do want to thank, I lucked out on the pledge drive night because they treat us nice here at the station, and Bonzo has donated a beautiful spread of dinner catering. So as soon as I get done with this, I'm going to stuff my face with falafels. Pretty. But, you know, don't eat them too fast. Otherwise, yeah, you falafel.
It was very delicious. I had some earlier. Thank you, Bonzo.
All right. You got another question?
Sure. So you incorporate a lot of philosophy in the book to explain concepts like consciousness and free will. I'm also a philosophy major, so that was very fun for me. What role do you think philosophy plays in modern neuroscience?
Oh, wow. That's a big question. But, it's integral. It's integral. I think, so what is philosophy and what is its relationship to science? Philosophy, back before we had the tools to ask some of the more sophisticated questions we can now, it was the way that people tried to figure out the universe, right? So in a very real sense, it was sort of using the best tools they had at the time to understand what it meant to be human. And that through line continues throughout modern neuroscience. You know, just as ancient philosophers determined certain things and made certain suppositions and developed things like logic and stoicism, we today sort of take those and try to understand more about the psychology and the behavior of people. And the behavior of people then connects to the underlying hardware. And so neuroscience is really about taking all of those threads of psychology, philosophy, chemistry, physics, and trying to bring those tools to bear for a better understanding of how the brain works. So certainly it's integral. Specifically, in some of the chapters, I think philosophy factors very, very large. There is one of my favorite chapters is what is happiness? It talks about happiness and really charts a path from early Stoicism to modern practice of things like cognitive behavioral therapies, and I think does a pretty good job of showing that there is that essential through line that helps us to understand more about ourselves. So the book really isn't meant to be a self-help book, but a lot of people walk away from that chapter and some of the other chapters and say, you know, there's some stuff here that you can really apply to everyday life. And I really like that. How about you, Jorge?
Yeah, no, definitely self-help me, I think, to help be a part of writing the book, you know, especially that chapter about what makes you happy. You know, we took such a deep dive into what makes people happy and how do you align your life in a way that maximizes your happiness. And so it definitely affected me, for sure.
It makes sense. That's awesome. So I'm going to ask a question that you guys can kind of ponder this while I do some more pledge wrapping here. I'm interested in the creative process that an author and a visual artist, how do those things come together? But while you think about that and while the audience ponders that, we want to mention a really interesting thing that's happening today. We are having a anonymous person who is going to double our donations today. So every single dollar that gets spent is going to be doubled, which is really awesome here. And we're also making a goal to get some of our some people that are new to donate or increasing, some first-time donors, which I think we just had. And also we want to get people back that have been lapsed. So if you haven't donated in over 2 years, this is your call. We know that you love the station. You're listening hopefully right now. Maybe you're on the archives listening in the distant future, up to 2 weeks. So if you haven't given in a while, but you still found this to be part of your life, remember it's tax season. So, you know, cut us a little bit of that money you're going to save or get back from your taxes. Hopefully you get money back on your taxes. Hopefully the IRS still exists. Or do I hope that? I'm not really sure, actually. Anyways, so we would love to hear from some first-time donors. We would love it if you haven't donated in a while. We just really kind of want you to donate no matter what. You know it's super important. Right now, 32% of our donations come from monthly donors. It's a set it and forget it thing. You minimum of $5 a month, and you just keep going. And it's a price of a cup of coffee. And that's we have really stable footing that way. We know what's coming in. And we get a huge amount of our percentage of our ability to be on the air from people like you, people that are listening right now, not big corporations. So that's really an important reason to get off. You know, you'll feel better about when you listen to the radio. And I listen to the show everything constantly. Okay, back to my question. So how do you guys, who has an idea? Who does the draw? I mean, obviously one artist and one kind of professor, but how do you guys collaborate?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first thing I would say is, you know, we're truly co-authors of the book. So it's not like I'm writing the words and Jorge is drawing the pictures, right? It's really a true collaboration where, you know, I would come up with basically the structure for a lot of the details, mm-hmm. and would tell a story from my perspective and would put in a lot, probably more detail. I think our chapters, my initial draft was probably twice as long mm-hmm. as the chapter ended up being. a lot hit the editing floor. And that was really what Jorge brings to the table, is an ability to make things accessible, to sort of rein me in sometimes when I'm getting a little bit too technical, because I get so enthusiastic about this stuff and I want to pour all of my knowledge out. But he's really good at editing a lot of what I have, and also contributing unique ideas and papers that maybe I didn't take into consideration on the first pass. So, you know, it's very much a collaboration. And I would say, you know, he's doing the finished art, but in our collaborations together over the years, you know, I would suggest some structures for some of the comics. He would come up with, certainly going through the finished art and finished ideas. It's really kind of a back and forth, I would say. Jorge may have a different perspective on that, but that's kind of my perspective, is that it's a true partnership.
Neat. What do you think, Jorge? Yeah. Is he down to doodle? You're clowning around with that pen. Are you a pen, pencil? What do you draw with first? Are you digital?
I'm a digital person, so I have a tablet and I sketch everything there, and then eventually I draw everything on the computer. But I was going to say, just echo what Dwayne said. It's super great to work with Dwayne because we have this kind of overlap in skills. You know, the first time I met him at that cafeteria at Wake Forest, you know, I was talking to this dean of graduate students, this very important professor in neuroscience. We ended up talking about X-Men comics, which is kind of something we both share. We both really like comics. And so, you know, I would say he's a scientist who loves and knows how to draw comics. He's also a really good artist. He's a great visual sense. And I'm sort of a cartoonist who also kind of happens to have a PhD in science. So there's a pretty interesting and fun overlap there.
We're like the Reese's peanut butter cups of collaborations. My chocolate's in his peanut butter, or vice versa, however you want to put it.
Okay, wow, that sounds pretty intimate, and I'm into it. So awesome. In the pledge wrapping world, I'm going to tell you once again, yes, in fact, thank you again to our first donor. She is a new donor, so we're checking that box off. And I'm going to go ahead and I pledged my contribution to the Perpetual Notion Machine show, which I give monthly. I'm going to get this really cool looking camo roll up bag. That's one of our gifts, and it's got a WRT patch on it. I was just thinking how I wanted to put a patch in my bag, and then there is already a patch on this really cool bag. And then when you see somebody around town that's got a WRT shirt on or a patch, or you just know that they're in the know. Maybe they're a volunteer. Maybe they're just an overall cool person. Maybe they got it at a thrift store. That's fine too. So please look up those gifts. We're not gonna belabor that. That's not what it's about. It's about giving this community this amazing gift that is radio. That is something that can't be bought out by the mega corporations, that gives you the real reports about what's happening in our community. I got to do a science fiction music show a couple of weeks ago. That was Shali's idea, and it was super fun. So, big question for you gentlemen. Who's your favorite X person? I'm going to say, I have to think about it too, but who's your favorite?
Of a character.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Dwayne.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I think it's just in terms of a character. I mean, I would have to go with Wolverine. I'm not sure he has the best power that I would want for myself. You know, those claws seem a little bit dangerous. But definitely as a character, it's always been a favorite.
Great depth of character to that man. Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Hugh.
I got to go with the professor, since I am a professor.
Hey, right.
So Professor X.
I'm going to go with Iceman.
That would have drawbacks too, though, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
hearing everyone's thoughts might not be fun.
Exactly. I think I can do that, but it's just if I don't take my meds. But I've always liked Iceman and Gambit. But and it's amazing. So I think that science fiction does, in fact, inform science and science fact. And the things that you're drawing, you know, even the sketches of robots and things that are in here, we'll never know. We might actually see these things walking and talking in life. So, man, this show goes way too fast. It's so much fun to be in here. So, you know, other thing we always ask people is to volunteer. We have 300 plus volunteers. It's super great. There's a great camaraderie and some benefits of just getting to come in and eat bonzo and sense of well-being and some kind of, we have some occasional gatherings and it's awesome. So we only got about 5 minutes left. So Kate's got way too many questions. So I'm going to let her ask another one.
All right. Well, this one's kind of related. Both of your careers have centered around making science accessible to broader audiences. Why is science education important, and what motivated you to write this book specifically?
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you asked that question, because it's like the question of the day, right? And it kind of factors into your pledge drive as well. You know, we, as a society, there are things that we value. You know, high quality information that comes through public radio is enormously important for our consciousness as humans. And in the same token, our ability to talk about these things like brain science is built on a foundation of research. And this book is would be nothing if it weren't for the research that was done that underlies it. So part of each of the chapters is a bibliography that goes back to the original work that was done to inform all of the questions that we talk about in the book. You know, these ideas didn't just come full-blown into the world. They're a result of really hard, painstaking research that was done over decades or even centuries in some cases. And, you know, it's in danger these days. One of the things that we really felt was important was to really convey not just facts in this book, but also how those facts came to be, how they came to life. And we didn't want to come across as though we were trying to be, you know, oracles that had the answers to each one of these questions. Instead, really what we were trying to do with the book is to come through with the idea that science is an organic process, that it's always asking questions and getting closer to the truth, but there's always a new frontier, always a new question that can be asked based on the answer that you get when you ask scientific questions, when you pose a hypothesis, when you do the experiment and you get the information back. Then you go to the next level. And what we have created in this book is not the final answer to any of the questions, but really the idea is, hey, there are more questions out there and there are better answers. And one of the hopes that I have is that, you know, kids will read this book and they'll get excited about science and they'll want to become scientists. And that's something that these days seems to be in danger. And I would just encourage the audience to, you know, take a look at the book, read it, enjoy it, but also realize that it's based on things that we now take for granted. And, you know, just like public radio, we've got to support those things.
Amen. That is well said. And yeah, I think getting people to use their brains and getting more science education is always in style. And what makes us human is that progression and that ability to create. It's really, really amazing. So I am right now creating my own thank you gift list. And there's a really cool thing. So say you're already an Evergreen donor. You can go to the donation page right now on WRTFM.org. Click on that donate page and they allow you to select your thank you gift. Yes, you are accruing giftable time as we go through. So make sure to, you know, if you want something, that's great. If not, that's even maybe greater. We do have this cool t-shirt that's going to ship in April. We've got an I Miss Nixon patch. There's a bunch of fun. There's a beer cooler. There's roller bag. I have the Marley headphones, and they're really good Bluetooth headphones. So don't be shy. But we're out of time already, man. I wish we could have had another hour with you guys. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on in. Any kind of closing thoughts?
Yeah, just I'm very grateful for you to have us on and talk about the book. Just to say the title so people can find it. The title is Out of Your Mind, The Greatest Mysteries of the Human Brain, and it's by Jorge Cham, my partner, and Dwayne Godwin, myself, and it's available online and at your favorite bookstore.
That's right. I'm going to make a quick quote from it. There's a tableau of a brain, and it says, "Hello, My name is Brain, and I'm addicted to love. Might as well face it. You know what I mean? So it's really quite clever. Yeah. Go to Room of One's Own. Go to the library. Buy this thing. It's really, support these guys. I'm keeping this.
There's a lot of great quotes in there. I really enjoyed reading the whole book. I'll probably revisit it quite often. So thank you so much for being here.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
For having us.
Please
you
donate.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Good luck with the pledge drive.
Thank you.
Support for this program comes from Edgewood College Theater, presenting Kimberly Bellflower's biting, funny new play, John Proctor is the Villain, directed by Jeannie Leap, February 28th to March 8th at the Diane Bullwig Theater. At a rural high school in Georgia, teens are studying The Crucible while navigating love, sex, and school scandals. Holding a contemporary lens to the American classic, they question, who is really the hero and what is the truth? Discovering their own power in the process. Tickets at edgewood.edu/about/events/theater or search Edgewood College Theater.
Welcome to Radio Literature, Madison's weekly look at poetry, fiction, nonfiction, theater, and experimental writing for readers of all ages. Settle in for a half hour of conversation on radio literature. Here's your host, Melvin Hinton.
Because it's 7:30, you're listening to Radio Literature on WORT 89.9 FM out of Madison, Wisconsin. I am your host for this evening, Jason Compton. Melvin Hinton is away this week. There's no joke that it is pledge season, and we're going to talk a little bit about how you can